Alrighty, guys, welcome to the Suitcast. This is number 37, I believe it is. Wow, 37 episodes in. And we are fresh from Romania. And I wanted to go ahead and talk about my experience with ISF Romania and just share some of my experiences there and some of my overall thoughts about being a part of the talent for that broadcast and the experience of going to Europe there, you know, for the first time. So that's what we're going to talk about. Enjoy, and let's get to it. All right, so we're going to go ahead and start with our travel there. Also, I just got my coffee. Maybe you guys have yours as well. Still trying to adjust to the time zone, by the way, because whatever time it is here in the Philippines, it's 5 hours behind in Romania. So the mornings, the past couple mornings have been kind of a struggle waking up, and we've been slammed with things to do. And MPL gets started very soon here. So, you know, lots of things happening. And I can't wait for MPL. I'm super excited. Also, we have another episode coming up with the Sue Man combination for the MPL podcast, The Road to M5. So if you guys have listened to that or watched that, I'm going to actually link that in the show description so you guys can go check that out too. That is hosted by me and Manjean, and we talk to guests from different regions leading up to M5, right? So with that said, let's talk about the journey over to Romania. Iași, by the way, it's not a Iași. I was thinking it was Iași from the get-go. I think OSX was too. I think quite a few people naturally were just pronouncing it Iași. But it's Iași. Iași, Romania is where we went to. And that started with a trip, of course, from the Philippines. And it was a surprisingly smooth trip going there, I would say. Now, the longest flight was from here. It was Manila over to Istanbul, Turkey. And then we took a flight over to Bucharest. And then we took a van. Now, the thing is, I got to say, man, Terminal 3 sucks in the Philippines. Like, when I went there about 3.5, almost 4 hours early. And for some reason, I don't know what the system is there, but I was in line for like 2 hours before I actually got checked in. And then, of course, you have to go through, you know, security, immigration, all that. All in all, it literally took like 2.5, almost 3 hours to get through everything. So, you know, I'm still hoping our airports can get fixed somehow, some way, right? Because that is ridiculous. And anyway, that trip, though, was kind of salvaged, or I should say that waiting time was salvaged, because when I got checked in, they just asked me, they literally looked at me and they're like, "You're a big dude. Do you want the exit row seat?" And I was like, "Hell yeah, I do." Right. So I got the exit row upgrade. I consider it an upgrade. So I got to stretch my legs out, which made that 12-hour flight very comfortable for me, you know. And I ended up just pretty much, I think I watched like 2 movies, because immediately on that flight, I was already kind of in the mindset, like, let me get acclimated to the time. Right. So, like, our flight was late at night, and so I stayed awake. Like, I forced myself to stay awake to work with the 5-hour difference in Romania. And I ended up like forcing myself to watch 2 movies, and then I slept. And, you know, it made the plane ride go very fast, 12 hours done. And then we get to Turkey. And from there, you know, we had a very quick, I think it was 1.5-hour flight over to, Bucharest. When we got to Bucharest, this was a rather small airport. And then, you know, that's where we started to already see like other players and stuff, coaches and whatnot. And from there, we waited to jump on basically like a mini bus, a mini van. And it was a 6-hour ride, dude, from Bucharest all the way to Iași, Romania. And with us, we had the Australian CSGO team. So that was pretty cool. And we had a couple other delegates. We were actually not called just talents or like casters. They actually called us delegates or ambassadors, right? That's technically the term that they used for us. And so we did that 6-hour journey. It was very, again, very long journey, very long car ride. Beautiful scenery, though. Like, if you really like open spaces and kind of the countryside, and you see a bunch of different vineyards of grapes and different fruits and vegetables growing and whatnot, it's a beautiful ride. Quite long, but beautiful. And luckily, I had some anime on my phone from on my Netflix app, and I was, you know, just either listening to podcasts or I was watching anime basically for those 6 hours. And when we finally got there, beautiful hotel. It was a 4-star hotel. I think it was called the International. very reminiscent of the Continental, right? But we stayed at the International and we unloaded there, and it was beautiful rooms, man. You know, they gave us our own rooms. Props to ISF. Thank you guys for taking care of us so much. You know, you almost feel spoiled, right? To be honest, and very thankful for the opportunity basically to do this. And, you know, we saw the room, nice king size bed, very spacious room, beautiful, beautiful views. Again, you probably saw some of the stories. OSX had a balcony and he had a view of the Palace of Culture, which probably a lot of you guys saw, you know, in pictures and posts and whatnot. I was on the other side of the building, much quieter, by the way, so I didn't mind it. I like that, you know, kind of quiet, still beautiful view of another like church or cathedral behind my, the hotel. And, yeah, they, you know, we had like three meals a day provided by the hotel. They took care of us and, everything was great, right? And so for those first 5 or 6 days, we had what was called the championship experience, by the way. And they gave us this option. Like, did we want to show up right before MLBB started because it was in the later part of the tournament? Or did we want to show up early because that was the championship experience where you got to basically have like 5 or 6 days before we had anything to do, you know, technically work-wise. So that gave us time to like get assimilated once again, acclimated to the time difference, to walk around the area, get to know the area, try a bunch of different stuff, and also just kind of enjoy the event. And so that's what we did. We showed up like 6 days before MLBB started. And, you know, one thing I love doing is going on walks. And I love morning walks in Iași, man. It is beautiful. It's a beautiful kind of young, vibrant city. I think IT is like their biggest field there for careers. And you have a couple different colleges and it's just a very lively, young city. And obviously there's, you know, elderly people there and stuff too, but it's just very alive, you know? And, I guess if you're really into like architecture as well, they have some beautiful buildings and just beautiful things in that city, right? And so it was really great to go on morning walks when it was like, I don't know, maybe 18 degrees in the morning, and you would just go and walk around and, you know, take in a lot of the sights and everything. So that was really enjoyable to see. And I loved my morning routine there, which was to go on a walk and then get back to the hotel and have breakfast that they served us, right? So those first few days, really, we just kind of spent walking around and visiting places. We went to the Palace of Culture, and that's where Comic-Con was being held, which was a smaller Comic-Con than probably what most people are thinking in their minds, but it was still, you know, great to experience nonetheless. And, you know, we had the opening ceremony. That was crazy. Like, the opening ceremony is where you really got an idea of how big this event was. Again, I think a lot of people necessarily didn't realize like how much was actually going on other than what was going on for MLBB. So the main stage was massive, you know, and it was built right in front of the palace in this huge courtyard. And that's where a lot of people just hung out. Like I said, this is a city that loves their outdoor stuff, and they set it up for the community to just kind of come out, hang out, have fun. There was a ton of food stalls everywhere. There was games and stuff to do, you know, so it was a very like family oriented area that just happened to be also a esport event, right? A gaming event. And it was just well put together. Yeah. A lot of the stuff that was happening on the main stage, especially where, you know, some of the games like CSGO, I think they had eventually, it was mainly for CSGO, but eventually they would have, like the eFootball and the Tekken finals there as well. And then we had our own stage off on the side is called like Main Stage B or something like that. And that's where they held Dota 2 and MLBB. And that was a relatively big stage as well, you know? So it was crazy how much was going on in one compact area. So, you know, once the tournaments and stuff started up, that's when we kind of just spent some of those days like watching and supporting. Again, we met a lot of casters and people behind the scenes and whatnot. And it was nice to just go and like meet them and support them and their games and, you know, learn from them as well, their experiences. Again, there's some casters we met that have been casting for like 16 years. And one of the guys was like in his 40s, man, you know, and you can learn a lot from their experiences. And I think that is something that definitely I would take with me from this trip is talking and meeting some of these casters and getting to know their backstories and their experiences in the esports world and how things have changed over time that they've been casting, and some of the guys that are newer, right? Some of these guys that have been doing it for full time in the Western parts of the world, which is kind of unheard of. Like it's rather difficult to be a caster full time or a talent full time in esports unless you've really like made it in the Western part of the world, which is very different from, you know, over here in Asia. Now, going to MLBB, of course, the group stage has happened. That was not broadcasted by us. There was a broadcast done here in the Philippines, and I think also in Indonesia. But the English broadcast for group stages was done by the Philippines. And yeah, group stages was rough, man. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. And I don't think ISF would either. I think they understand, you know, it was a rough experience for the players and for the viewers. And, you know, we got to talk to some of them and they, you know, basically said like, yeah, some of those situations were not obviously expected or like prepared for in a way. Just because one, how can you prepare for a power outage? You know what I mean? Like there was an actual power outage and it happened to us in the playoffs too. Like there was a power outage because there were storms. Like there were storms happening during the group stages and it knocked like power out and whatnot. So, you know, how can, no matter how prepared you are, how can you prepare for nature? You know what I mean? And I think, yeah, as a viewer, obviously it upset a lot of people, but at the same time, you know, what could ISF do in that situation, right? Again, it disrupted the entire event, not just MLBB. And yeah, it was definitely hard to deal with. And, you know, hopefully in the future, if whatever they're, you know, wherever they decide to set things up, we do know the next place is going to be Saudi Arabia for the championship. So, you know, maybe they have a plan B in mind, right? But again, a lot of these people that were participating in this out in Iași, Romania, they have some experience with MLBB, but a lot of them didn't. And this is coming from them, right? Saying that, you know, for a lot of these people involved, they didn't necessarily have experience with mobile games or MLBB, but they were willing to learn. And, you know, I think that's the great thing. Now, could they have learned earlier? Maybe, but you have to understand too, and this is kind of what I was talking about in our podcast over there, was that a lot of these people were volunteering. You know, like they were just volunteering to help out of the goodness of their heart because it was such a massive event. And I think some people get too focused on the fact that this is an MLBB that they're watching, but there's a greater picture there of a bigger tournament with thousands and thousands of participants and people watching and different things going on. You know what I mean? Like there is a ton going on in the back end. And obviously, I think they will just continue to try to make improvements. Of course, you know, in their future endeavors. And I would say, yeah, once we got past the group stages, of course, we got to the playoffs and that's when they finally moved it to the stage. And that's where me and OSX started casting from. And I do have to say, you know, hats off to the stage crew, the production there, the audio guys there, the directors, everybody, because, you know, for playoffs, aside from a couple pauses here and there, like, everything was smooth. It felt smooth as heck. And it was very easy to just work because the people on the back end there did an amazing job. Again, I don't know how many people from, you know, group stage were part of the playoffs or vice versa, but I just know from a caster perspective, working with them in the playoffs was very smooth for us. The hardest part about casting in the playoffs, to be honest, guys, was casting outside for the first time. I brought suits with me, like full suits and everything. And they told us going there that, hey, you know, just, if you want to wear like business casual, that's fine. You don't really have to wear suits. We did get word that it's going to be hot during this time and whatnot. And that's the thing, you know, at some point we were casting like 30 to 35 degree weather. And all we had is some cooling fans up there, you know, and once you start actually like casting and your body starts moving and everything, it's very hot. And when you're the two casters for the entire 4 days of playoffs, casting for, you know, 10 to 12 hours a day, that obviously compounds very much on the physical aspect of the body, right? So I think that was the most difficult part. But even though I say that, as long as you hydrate and as long as you're taking your vitamins and you're getting enough sleep, you're okay. And so for me, I didn't feel like I was in a, you know, I never had a feeling in my mind that I was like, oh, I can't do this. You know what I mean? Or, oh, I'm so tired. Yeah, I was tired at the end of the day, right? Who wouldn't be? But essentially, you just learn to take care of yourself and your voice, and you know how to, you know, stay healthy, so to speak. And that's what me and Francis both did. And it kept us very healthy throughout the days. You know, by the end day, by the fourth day, yeah, you could probably hear it in our voices a little bit, but that can be said about all the casters across all the titles. And so, you know, it was just a great experience, right? Of course. And I think one of the things that was really apparent and highlighted for me was the fact that so many people came to watch MLBB in person that did not know MLBB. You know, and so if you guys, again, if you listen to some of the casting or you got a chance to listen to it, I was explaining things in the sense that, yes, there are literally hundreds of people here watching live that have no clue who Valentina is, that have no clue the use of priority pick on the blue side, have no clue, you know, this or that in the game or objectives and neutral, you know, they have no inclination of it. So I was explaining a lot of things at a varying level of someone who has no clue and obviously people that are experts at MLBB, right? And again, I tweeted about this. I think this is one of the best compliments I've ever gotten as a caster. And it was the multiple people in Yash Romania who live there or who were obviously visiting. And they came up and told us like, hey, we love your guys' casting. I know nothing about the game, but I totally understood it with your guys' casting. And I felt, you know, I felt the emotion, I felt the hype there. And I even though I don't know anything about it, like I'm being pulled in. That there is probably one of the top tier comments you can get as a caster. And it felt great, right? Because that's our job. We're literally there to highlight these amazing players and showcase their expertise and their amazing capabilities to an audience that probably has never seen them before. Right. And I think that's one of the main things as a caster is to be able to basically paint that picture for them. Right. And anyway, so we wrap things up there and the casting part of it was great. And after that, you know, of course, we had the closing ceremony and then we wrapped things up, took care of stuff and said our goodbyes. And, you know, again, we made great friendships while we were out there. Shout out to all the casters we met. You guys are all amazing. And I hope to see you guys in the future. And, it flew by, man. We were there for almost 2 weeks and it just zipped by. By the end of it, of course, you know, I was sad to say goodbye, but I was also looking forward to coming home because, you know, of course I just, you know, I miss home. I miss everything involved with home. And, then you start switching your mindset already. Like, you know, right away you start thinking about MPL season 12 and that's where I am now. And, you know, that starts very quickly here. So hope to see you guys there. I'm going to go ahead and wrap up this episode with just the messages of I am so thankful that I got the opportunity to literally travel to Europe for casting MLBB. I never thought that would be possible. When I started casting, I actually never thought that I would travel so much as I have now to go cast for MLBB. And I am so thankful to all the people that have given me that chance, given me that opportunity. And it's really helped me become better at what I do. And I know that I look at every single one of these opportunities as a time to grow as well, because I just think that you can learn something, you know, again, from whether it's the broadcast itself, whether it's the people around you, whether it's, you know, the just experience overall and being a different country. So, and getting the insights of like mobile esports, right? So just huge, huge gratification for what I just went through, what I've experienced up to this point in 2 years of casting. And I can't be more thankful. And I know, you know, OSX has his own thoughts about everything and I'm glad that he was there with me. We had a blast. It was great to see him perform, you know, internationally and everything. And who knows what's in store in the future, right? But for now, super thankful for the opportunity and big shout out to ISF, the International Esports Federation and all the people involved, because you guys have been amazing taking care of us and really allowing us that championship experience. So yeah, I, you know, it's crazy to think about that really. And I was even telling my dad that, and I never thought that back when I even started playing video games, or then, you know, became a caster, that one day I would get to go and be like, hey, Dad, I'm traveling to Europe or, you know, wherever, the Middle East, to go cast. You know, that just blows my mind still to this day. So thank you guys so much. Again, everybody that is listening to this podcast, a lot of you have been part of the journey for years, if not, you know, the whole time. And some of you guys have just been joining me on this journey. And so I thank you guys as well, because without you guys, you know, it would not be possible where I have come today. And so I just take, you know, this moment of gratification and thank you guys. Because again, I'm looking forward to the future and there's more to come. So MPL season 12 is next. That is going to be the next focus. I'm sure you guys will see me there, starting week one. And hopefully we see some of you guys in person as well, as you guys can buy tickets to come watch. So that'll do it for this episode, number 37. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you again for your guys' support. Please do check out also the Road to M5 podcast. Again, I'll link it down below. And until the next one, we'll see you guys then. All right. GG, WP.